Welcome to CDH Conversations, where we delve into the dynamic world of law, careers, and empowerment. A legal qualification is a great starting point to a very rewarding career, and it is wonderful to see the many ways in which lawyers can build their careers from the same base starting point to a seemingly endless number of options. In each episode of our series, we will explore fascinating insights, personal journeys, and thought-provoking discussions with some of the remarkable women professionals who are directing their professional journeys in sometimes non-traditional ways. I am your host, Rita Beerman. I am a CDH director, and I head up the CDH Knowledge Management practice area. Our guiding purpose in knowledge management is to make other lawyers' lives easier. We do so by streaming the right knowledge to them and by giving them the tools to deliver high-quality work as efficiently as possible. We also look after training and quite a bit of the innovation initiatives at the firm. I am joined by Kalinka Murray. Kalinka is a practice development director in our dispute resolution practice. She has over 17 years of working experience with an enthusiasm for growth and development of junior lawyers in the legal profession. Her areas of focus include practice management, project management, financial management, talent management and transformation, business development and marketing, knowledge management and learning and development. It's a strong indication of the very many skills you require in order to be a knowledge management lawyer or a practice support lawyer. Also joining us is Kirsty D'Souza. Kirsty is a professional support lawyer in our real estate practice. She has experience as a practicing attorney and a notary in a wide spectrum of firm sizes, from small startup to medium firm, all the way to a large law firm. This stands her in very good stead in her current role, as she is intimately acquainted with every step in that real estate journey, and she has been instrumental in bringing about process improvements throughout that whole journey. Her skills as a lawyer and as a notary public is not just used in her own practice area, but she also often teaches lawyers in other practice areas on how to enhance their skills and how to fit in with the real estate practice and how they run their process. Our last guest to introduce today is Stephanie Gonsalves, who is a professional support lawyer shared between the finance and banking practice and the knowledge management practice areas. She's been in this role since 2022, but she joined us as a candidate attorney in 2016 and never left. She was appointed as a senior associate in the finance and banking department in 2021. While a finance and banking lawyer, she predominantly focused on debt capital markets. In her current role, her focus is similar to that of Kalinka, but she also works with central knowledge management on firm-wide projects. In this first episode of three, we're going to delve into how these ladies started their journeys into law. We're going to explore what they do and how what they do differs from what a standard lawyer role would entail. Welcome, ladies. Kalinka, you're a director in dispute resolution. How does your current role differ from that of a standard dispute resolution lawyer?
Thank you, Rita. So for many traditional practitioners, being a litigation lawyer would mean billing time and actively writing fees. As a director in a law firm, this would also mean that you inherit the responsibility of not only ensuring sufficient work pipeline to meet the needs of your growing team, but you take on the actual running of that business as a profitable enterprise. Being in practice would also mean daily interactions with clients, opponents, the court, advocates at the bar, experts, witnesses, and also a host of other external parties. But in my current role, the support staff and lawyers in our dispute resolution practice are actually my clients. So instead of billing fees and keeping time and running legal technical matters, I have the privilege of shaping the future of litigation practice within the firm and beyond by ensuring constant and positive business improvement across a range of business areas within our litigation team. So effectively, I'm assisting in operations management for our lawyers to then in turn enable them to provide a better and more holistic service to each of our clients.
Thank you. Kirsty, would you say the same applies to you in real estate?
Very much so. Exactly what Kalinka said now. It's very much applicable to my day-to-day work in the real estate department, with real estate being my client, essentially, and catering to their specific needs for the real estate sector.
Thank you, Kirsty. And Steph, how about you? Same apply to you as well?
Yeah, exactly the same. So my role is a little bit different to Kalinka and Kirsty's, but typically as a practicing lawyer in finance and banking, my responsibilities would be managing client matters from start to end, drafting agreements, legal opinions, providing legal advice, attending client meetings and meeting fee targets, as well as conducting legal research. In a support role, I do very much what Kalinka and Kirsty do from a finance and banking perspective. However, I do also have responsibilities in firm-wide projects, such as training, e-learning, vetting legal tech, automation, as well as ensuring the effective use of knowledge in the firm itself.
Thank you. I think it sounds like all of you have the same experience as me, and that is that stepping into a role that is non-traditional has actually meant that you've broadened your horizons quite a bit. You've developed a whole lot of new skills, and you do quite a bit more in terms of different types of work than you would have done as a fee-earning lawyer. Let's call them the standard lawyers. Would that be right?
100%.
So right, Rietha.
So I'm interested in understanding a little bit more from each of you how your journey into law started. Did you always envisage that you would be where you are now? Let's start with Kirsty. Tell us, how did you start your journey into being who you are now?
Thanks, Rietha. Look, I've always been an analytical person. I love an intellectual challenge. And I think the legal sphere offered that. So I started my legal career about 17 years ago as a candidate attorney. And property law was always appealing to me. I liked the codified nature of this field of law. And I did try my hand at alternative options for professionals with legal backgrounds before returning to legal practice. It's always been a passion, just enjoying going down the research rabbit hole and being able to collate information from various sources to come up with an opinion to assist my clients.
Steph, I happen to know, because you're in my team, that you have a particularly close relationship with CDH pretty much from when you were in school. Will you share with everyone?
Yeah, sure. So I've actually had the privilege to work for CDH since I joined as an article clerk back in 2016. And a fun fact is I job shadowed when I was in matric. And then in varsity, I drove around with my mother in my third year of studies, and I dropped off my CV at various law firms in Sandton, including CDH, which I wasn't at that time aware was the same place where I job shadowed in matric. And then later on, I was invited to participate in the CDH vacation program, where I was later offered to do my article. So almost full circle. And then I eventually kicked off my articles with my first rotation in employment, then dispute resolution, and then my last two rotations in finance and banking, where I worked my way up to be a senior associate, learning and getting as much exposure in different finance and banking work, as well as mainly focusing on DCM work. Then thereafter, I had a change over from a career perspective, where I had a keen interest in technology and its impacts on productivity of our lawyers. And that's when I decided to broaden my skill set and pivot my career into a support role, not only within the finance and banking practice area, but firm-wide.
Kalinka, like Kirsty, we went and stole you from somewhere else. We won't name the competitor we stole you from. You didn't quite have the VAC student into where you are now journey that Steph has. Will you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Thanks, Rietha. So mine is quite a bit different. And it started in the Free State, where I grew up and where I finished my schooling years. And in fact, where I finished my LLB and LLM degrees. But for me, throughout my childhood, it was very clear that I wanted to follow a career in law. There was something quite dignified about doing the right thing, so to speak, and ensuring fairness and equity to all. So after moving up to Johannesburg
and completing my articles at Weber Wenzel, I actually commenced my legal journey as an associate in the dispute resolution practice. So I've always been a dispute resolution lawyer, and I remain super passionate about that area of law. But it took only 3 years to realize, much like Steph, that there is more that I could offer in the way of supporting practicing lawyers, particularly junior lawyers making their way through the ranks in some of South Africa's top commercial law firms. So I kicked off this alternative legal career by signing up as a professional support lawyer, which at that stage still focused heavily on traditional knowledge and learning initiatives within that dispute resolution practice. So very much focused on template design and creation, designing and rolling out training for junior lawyers, and then assisting with the creation of standard form precedents for repeatable use by lawyers. Then another 3 years later, I found myself at Gibbs completing a program for management development to really just hone more broader skills such as business development, human resourcing, operations management, strategy, innovation, and business finance. And that led me on the path where I am right now, which is really focused overall on business improvement and operations management within a legal context.
Yeah, I think, Kalinka, you and I have had a similar journey into changing from a fee-earning lawyer into a support lawyer. And that was the development and the focused first on precedence and creating efficiency products for other lawyers. And I think it's evolved, possibly more so in South Africa than anywhere else, into more of a, you know, we're taking care of the whole practice that we're in, and everything that needs to be done needs to belong to someone, and we end up doing a little bit of everything. Speaking for myself, I find it quite gratifying because you have a much broader picture of where everybody fits in, of where they belong, of what the purpose is for what people are doing on a daily basis. So I really enjoy it. And I know of everybody on the call, you're the one that has been the longest, similar to me, in a knowledge role. And so have seen that same evolution. I think that we all still do face challenges, right? Whether you're a support lawyer or whether you are one of the standard fee writing lawyers, as women in the profession, there are still challenges. What do you see as the current challenges and opportunities for women in the legal profession, and particularly within the professional support roles that you are in? Steph, do you have some thoughts on this?
Yes, thanks, Rita. So first of all, I want to say there are incredible opportunities for women in law, more so now that we're embracing different roles in the legal industry. We have legal consultants, PSLs, practice managers, and other support roles. However, in my view, there is still one challenge that does persist when it comes to support roles, and that is they are still relatively new and developing, especially in South Africa. So us lawyers are not always the most receptive to thought outside of the traditional trajectory of our careers. And we often believe that we can only add value through billable hours, which despite progress, there is still a perception that any person, not only women in support roles, may not be adding as much value as a billing lawyer, which in my view, I don't think that's true, and it couldn't be further than the truth.
I would like to echo that. There is that perception that we are still battling, absolutely. But I think that the extent to which practice areas and our colleagues in fee earning roles have been willing to invest in more and more and more support roles is probably an indication of the success of the team that is already delivering that service to CDH. Because I think you all have proven your worth over and over and over again. And the fact that our practice areas keep asking for more of you to split you in half or at least hire others in the same role is a strong indication that you are making inroads into that perception on a daily basis. Kalinka, do you have anything to share around the challenges for women, especially the professional support women?
As Steph rightly put it, one of the biggest challenges for women who have left behind legal practice and adopted the supporting roles within the law firm context is the question of value add, and more particularly return on investment, which is very often seen as the only measure of true success. But as you've pinpointed, Rieta, thankfully CDH has always been an agile business. They remain agile. And with that agility comes the permission to fail in order to succeed. So many times one's first attempt to implement a new process will not succeed. Sometimes not even your second or third attempt will. But eventually you will find that something sticks and value can be demonstrated and return on investment is just evident. But like the English proverb says, good things come to those who wait.
Absolutely. I believe it's our hard work over time, the many times we ran into walls, that is now making it easier for other people, right? Okay, so Kirsty, what do you think around the challenges that we face?
I definitely echo what yourself, Rieta, Kalinka, and Steph have said, very much so, being the challenges. Of course, there are other challenges. Most of them are age old. You know, the usual work-life balance, bias, underrepresentation in leadership for women. But the biggest challenge for PSLs in particular is simply the lack of understanding. Once people actually understand the benefit that PSLs bring to their practice, like you said, Rieta, they want more. You know, give us more. We need more people to facilitate these operational requirements so that we have a smooth sailing of the ship, essentially. So something that is interesting as an opportunity, and I think, Steph, you mentioned it as well, is if you simply are willing to step out of the confines of the classical lawyer role, delving into legal tech and creating a new niche of tech-capable lawyers, people who are able to merge those expert skills with technical skills to allow other attorneys within their department to work smarter and more effectively and more efficiently. That's probably one of the biggest opportunities for lawyers in general, because the reality is that we're actually competing to a degree, please take that with a pinch of salt, with AI. The fact that AI can now generate information, albeit not always correct, hence the fact that our skills will still be relevant, but the ability to merge skilled individuals' knowledge with tech ability is going to become more relevant in the future and will definitely, and has already definitely created a new opportunity for attorneys.
I love that insight. Thank you very much, Kirsty. You're right. It is not just challenges. There are opportunities as well. Sometimes what challenges us is the very thing that will also offer us an opportunity. You had to shift your mindset quite a bit, going from an in-house role and an advisory, financial advisory role, to your own firm, to being in a large law firm. So you had to adapt quite a bit and quite fast, and you've done an amazing job in order to become so embedded in your practice area within a few short years that they now can't do without you. But in that process, you did have to learn a whole lot of new processes and technologies and ways of working. And it is harder. It's hard to do it. For me, in any event, the older I get, the harder it is to learn something new because I'm embedded in my process. My process worked. And that is a challenge for all of us. I think that by and large, the support lawyers have embraced the fact that change is not necessarily bad. And we can be good at the things that we feel might challenge us. We just have to give it time. And the mere fact that we are lawyers does not prevent us from also understanding technology. You can give yourself permission to try it. And as Kalinka said, not necessarily going to be great at it the first time you try it. But if you do not try it, you are not going to succeed, most certainly not. The other thing is, you don't have to feel that you're a woman. You should not try to be good at technology as well. The knowledge management team is predominantly made up of women. And we're one of the teams in the organization that delivers technology to our users and advise on the use of technology. And we are the champions of the effective use of technology, not technology for the sake of technology, but technology that really can make your life easier and your understanding better. So thank you, Kirsty. That was really insightful. The legal profession is notorious for changing very slowly, but at the same time, we read everywhere that innovation in legal practice is the order of the day. Do you think that much has really changed in legal practice and how we do things since you became a lawyer? Stephanie, I'm going to start with you.
So I personally think that things have and they are changing since I first started practicing, especially when I look at legal innovation. We as lawyers have embedded tech within our daily workflows, and even more so after the pandemic, we were forced to communicate, to execute, and to share documents through different means. So I think tech and various tools, for example, if they are used correctly, can assist our lawyers to be more productive. And in an age of AI, as Kirsty had mentioned earlier, this has catapulted us to consider how we can incorporate these tools into our workflows and to do so in a more responsible manner.
Thank you. Kirsty? Would you like to add to that?
Thanks, Rieta. Yes, Steph, what you said is so true. With being able to make use of these tools, which are at our disposal, but in a responsible manner, it is actually so dangerous just to think about some of the tools at people's disposal, and they actually are not skilled to know what to potentially use and what not to use. So yes, interesting. But what I would like to specifically add is that with commerce moving as fast as it is, we do as attorneys always have to consistently explore new ways to work smarter and more efficiently and more effectively. And at the end of the day, that task usually falls to attorneys like PSLs and knowledge management teams and practice managers. We're the ones who are usually implementing practical solutions for our specific departments and practices, allowing them to achieve the work and the goals that have been set for them as fee-earning attorneys in the most efficient manner. The reality is, though, to be a PSL or a knowledge lawyer, you have to have that knowledge. You have to have that skill already. You can only help someone so far with technical advancements as a tech individual. When you become a tech attorney, you have the skills that need to be merged together with the technical advancements. So yes, that's probably one of the major technical or legal innovations for PSLs and various tech attorneys, is being able to make use of the skills and the experience that you have in the most tech-savvy manner with the tools that are available at our disposal in today's day and age, which, let's be honest, are advancing on a day-to-day basis. So keeping up with that is very, very, very relevant. Otherwise, you'll be left behind.
Thank you. You know, I'm going to share some thoughts around when I started as a young lawyer to give you an idea of how much things have changed. Paper was what we relied on to get us to where we have to go. The majority of the senior lawyers had no computers, and for many years after, they would still get their secretaries to print out everything that came in via email. The fax machine was still innovative. So if we look at how we work now and how we practice, it's evident that a whole lot of things have changed. And life is faster, and the work we deliver is faster. At the same time, we are still quoting case law from the 20th century and, you know, sometimes quite early on in the 20th century. So I think both things can be true. It can be a profession that looks backwards, because that's what we do. We look at how things were done in the past, and we hold on to those things, and we try to make sure that any change occurs slowly and safely. And that's probably a good thing in its own way. And at the same time, the world around us is moving fast, and we have to stay relevant. And one of you have mentioned, I think, Kirsty, it was you, you've mentioned the fact that artificial intelligence is a reality, and we will need to know how to adapt to a world that includes artificial intelligence into our future. And that is right. Legal practice is changing whether we want it to or not. So we better get used to that and start preparing ourselves to be the best lawyers we can be in a new world.
Join us again in part two as we continue this conversation. And thank you for listening.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.